Let's pray for tonight, and we'll get started and see what the Lord says. So, Lord, we've gathered here to hear from you tonight. We just ask that you would please teach us through your word. Give us understanding by your Holy Spirit. Examine our hearts. And Lord, if there's anything displeasing to you, would you bring it to mind? Remove it as we submit to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're starting a new series. I'm not sure how many weeks it's going to go, but we're starting a new series called The Basics. And the Lord's been putting it on my heart to go back to first things, to go back to the simple things, and I don't know how many weeks we're going to do it, but tonight I want to talk about some of those foundational beliefs in the Christian faith. You know, Christianity is not an intellectual pursuit. People take those things to the extremes. They go, okay, well, you can't be smart and be a Christian. And then the other extreme is Christianity is all about what I know. And it's all about what I learn. And somehow if I learn this amount, then I'll achieve to super saint. That's not how this works. This is a relationship. This is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the reason I study and the reason I want to know more is because I want to know more of Jesus Christ. I want to further my relationship with him by learning more about him through his word. And so there isn't this point where we go, well, I've learned enough, I've now achieved. And so we have to be careful when we go, well, I've already learned about that. I've learned about that simple thing. That was in the first year of my Christianity. Like, no, the first things remain the first things. And as you probably have done, you go through passages of scripture that you've read probably 20, 30, 40 times, and you learn something new because it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. But the main thing tonight, and I'm like looking through, I'm skipping over some stuff, the main thing tonight is I want to talk about the church. I want to talk about what the church is and what it means to be a church. I'm not going to go, this isn't going to be an exhaustive study because this could turn into a 10-week study on the church. It's going to be a high-level flyover, but I think there's going to be some things that you're going to learn. What is the church? What's its purpose? Is it something more than just a feel-good gathering of Christians? And are we any different than a social club? I hope the answer is yes. Well, the first thing we need to do is define what we mean when we say church. Let's start with the concept. When we say church, what do we mean? In the New Testament, there's three ways the church is referred to. And if you're taking notes, actually, there's a spot for you now on the back. There's a spot for notes. And it will also be up on the screen. There's three ways that the church is referred to in Scripture. The universal church. This would be all believers in heaven and on earth. The visible church, that's churches in various areas, regionally or globally. It's the churches we know of, the people we know of that make up the church, maybe not here, but somewhere else. And then there's the local church. That's the local assembly we have a sustained relationship with. We see throughout Scripture that these types of the church are referred to by Paul in addressing maybe the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth met in multiple houses, but he says the church at Corinth. It's a regional church. But then we know that the church is past, present, future saints as well. And then when we talk about like the local body, this group, we're talking about the church. And so when we say the church, we can mean those three different ways. I would say that all of us belong to all three of those categories. We are Christians, we are part of a church, and we are part of the church. And so all Christians belong to those three. Now, let's move into the word. The English word church actually comes from a shortening of a Greek word meaning belonging to the Lord. Belonging to the Lord. The church belongs to the Lord. So every time we say church, in essence, we're proclaiming the overarching fact we belong to the Lord. The church belongs to the Lord. And if you're taking notes, that's the first thing I want you to write down. The church is, we're going to go, the church is, and then I'll give you something. The church is his possession. We belong to the Lord. It's his. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We're his. We're bought with a price. We belong to him, and he's shown us such incredible mercy. We used to be in darkness, but now we're in the light of Jesus Christ, and we belong to him. It says we're his own special people, and some of us are more special than others. I'm referring to myself. But the Lord says we're his special people. He owns it all, his church. Remember what he told Peter in Matthew 16, 18. He says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." The Lord builds it, right? What about in Acts 2:46? "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." The Lord Jesus is the one who adds to the church. Sometimes we get worked up about, well, how can we get more people to come? How can we convince more people to show up? Now, be led by the Lord. If the Lord says, invite someone, invite them. But there isn't a giant methodology. We can get a whole church packed of people that have no desire to really know God. Is that what we want? Or do we want steady growth led by his Spirit, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? So we see here in these verses that he owns it, he builds it, he adds to it as he desires, and we belong to him. Amen? That's the truth. It's his church. Second point, if you're taking notes, the church is called to gather. Called to gather. In the New Testament, there's a more common word that gets translated as church. It's the word ekklesia. Ekklesia. And pardon me while I get a little bit nerdy here. Let's do some word searches here. Ekklesia means assembly or gathering when it's used in the secular sense. It could mean a political gathering. It could mean a group of people out there, merchants, in Scripture. But then when it refers to the church, it actually means called out or called together. I like that. Called to be together. The ekklesia. We are called to be together. That's why this idea of online church is a non-starter. There is no such thing as online church. I know I'm going to offend somebody. No such thing. It cannot be the ekklesia and be online. Can't be. You have to gather together. And that's just a fact. Now, if someone is shut up in a home, if you have a disability, of course, that's better than nothing. But if you can get up and go somewhere, come gather, because we're called together. Not just a random group of people standing in the same place, like in the secular sense, but the Holy Spirit has actually called us to be together. You are not a random person. You didn't just come into this church with no leading. I believe that each person here was led by the Holy Spirit to be here. It isn't an accident. It isn't just some random coincidence. We don't believe in those. We believe in the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so we are gathered together and called together. We're called to be together. Have you ever considered how the Lord has brought you here for a reason? What's the reason? Why this church? Why this group of saints? Why here? Why now? It's a lot easier to go to a bigger church. We don't have a lot of things to offer you here. We don't have a huge kids ministry with all the cool things. We don't have huge other ministries and all of these different activities. Why has the Lord called you here? And I'm thankful the Lord has called you here. I'm grateful the Lord has called you here, and I believe he's going to call more. But this is the thing. I believe the Lord has called you here and you've listened to him, and it's better to be where the Lord has brought you than the place with all the comforts and all the conveniences. I've been in those churches. I've served in those churches. It's great. But when the Lord says go somewhere else, I go somewhere else. When the Lord leads, that's where I'm going to go. And so that's a wonderful thing, that it's not just us picking and choosing. I'm going to interview this church to see if it meets all my needs. It's being drawn together by the Lord. So gather together. He brought us together for a purpose, I believe. And there are people in this very church who would never hang out but for the fact that we're both Christ followers. There's men I've become good friends with in this church that we, just on a secular level, we would never hang out. There's age gaps. There's people who are older, people who are younger. I wouldn't hang out with them if it was just on a secular level. But because we have all things in common in Christ, we're friends. We're close. And I love that. We're called to be together. Hebrews 10:24 says this, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." I don't know about you guys, but it seems as though the church in America has lost its way. I see the day approaching, which means we should be gathering more, not less. It means we should be getting together more often, praying for each other more often, worshiping together more often, learning more, diving deeper into his word as we see the day approaching. And so it seems like the country is going in the opposite direction. I'll attend less, I'll be committed to less, and I don't really want the inconvenience. According to 2022 State of Theology Report, it says that 66% of Americans say that worshiping alone or with one's family is a valid replacement for regularly attending church. That's 2 out of 3 Christians. This is not the world. 2 out of 3 Christians think that just watching online, being by yourself at home, is a valid replacement for the church. What does that mean for our future? We need to decide who we're going to be. Watching a screen by myself or going camping with my family is just as valid as church, people would say. It's not. I've heard this over and over again from people, especially one of my uncles who likes to consider himself spiritual. He says, "Nature is my cathedral. It's my cathedral. That's where I feel the closest to God." Hey, I feel really close to God out in nature too, but it's not church. It's just not. It's not the ecclesia. It's cool to go camping. It's cool to go on vacation, but you know, I'm excited to gather with God's people. I'm excited when I come back. I'm excited when I get to pray for somebody. I'm excited when we start talking about scripture together, when we start getting excited and we get to worship together. I love that. I love to gather together. And if I had to sit in my living room by myself for the rest of my life, I would be miserable. Christians are not created for that. We're created for one another. In Hebrews 10:24, as you guys look at that scripture on the screen, I'm going to say some harsh things throughout this. I should have given the disclaimer, but what part of gather together seems optional? Don't forsake gathering together is what it says. Don't neglect it. Don't forsake it. Don't leave it behind. Throw it out. That doesn't seem optional to me. That seems like it's a requirement of Christians that you would gather together, that you would be the ecclesia. We're not to give up on gathering together. Well, why is it important to go to a local church? There are people who say, well, I'm part of the universal church. I'm part of the Catholic Church, which means universal. Because it's actually a body. And this is, if you're taking notes, the third point is the church is his body. We're going to spend a little bit of time on this one. Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's been a misunderstanding in the modern church that only a few people are needed. We just need a talker guy. Huh? We need like a guitar guy over here. And then we need like some people who will put up with our brats. That's all we need. It's church. That's all we need. That's not the case. People look at church like, well, these few people will serve and then I get to consume something. I get to come there and I get to partake of whatever they're giving out. And then as soon as I don't like what they're giving out, I'm going to go to another place because they got something better for me. That's not what we're called to. The body is built up and grows when every part does its share. Have you ever ripped off a toenail? Yeah, it was right. It is painful. It's absolutely awful. But you never really think about how much that toenail does until it's gone. If you've ever done it, it is awful. Everything hurts. Putting socks on hurts. And it seems like your foot finds every little thing that is sticking out in your house. And you're like, how am I hitting so many things with this toe? But even that small part of the body causes the whole body to suffer because it's missing. And it's the same way we suffer as the church when part of the body is missing. When part of the body is gone. And this isn't a guilt trip to make you show up every single Sunday, but this is a reality that if we're a body, a functioning body, there is no one here where we can say, we don't really need you here. We don't need you to attend. We've got one of you already. That's not the case. God draws the people together. He sees that we need one of you. I didn't think we needed one of you, but God did. God didn't think we needed one of me. God is the one who draws people together. And I want to put this thought in your mind that others miss out too when we're not in church. That person who needed your prayer, that person who needed your hug, that person who needed your encouragement, that person who needed just to see you and be encouraged that you also are going through a hard time. They missed out on that because you didn't come. And it's what every joint supplies. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says this, "For the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ." This idea of the church as one body puts to rest the idea that we can live separate from one another and think we're in the will of God. I like this quote. It says, "It's impossible to read the New Testament and come away with the idea that Christianity is just a me and Jesus sort of religion." When you read the New Testament, it's not a me and Jesus thing. It's a gathering together. It's serving one another. It's longing to be like Christ. It's letting him grow us as Christ. And let me just take a moment here to acknowledge, it's easier to not deal with people. It is. It's easier to not put up with people. People are fallen. They're sinful. They stretch our patience. They try every last nerve, even in the church. And yet this is the place to be. We pray all the time for obedience and forgiveness and servanthood and maybe even patience if you are masochistic. But when we pray for those things, we're asking to look more like Jesus. And when someone in the church upsets us and we have this opportunity, we think it's strange. wow, this person is making me exercise patience. I prayed for patience. Why are people making me exercise patience? Well, I prayed to learn forgiveness. Why did this person in the church hurt me? Do you want to look like Jesus? Then you're going to have to put up with people. You're going to have to learn to love like he loves and forgive how he forgives. Because it's going to happen. You're going to get hurt in church. I don't know if anyone can relate to that. I've been hurt in church. Not the first time, not the last time. You're going to get hurt in church. Someone's going to offend you. I'm going to probably offend you. Do we follow what Matthew 18 says? Do we go to that person and we do the hard thing of working it out? It's uncomfortable, but we're called to do it. Everyone is not the same and we need each other. I just threw this in here because I love this section of scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:15-19. This is just hilarious to me because we're all different and some of us want to be someone else. But God's brought us all together. Maybe you want to be up here and preach. Maybe you want to play music. Maybe you want to be the kids' leader. Tori would love that. But he says this, says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? We are all different. And God supplies everything that we need through you guys. Everyone has unique talents and abilities and giftings through the Holy Spirit. We need each other. Listen to this, though. We need each other not just for friendship and community. That's what everybody likes. That's the fluffy part of church. Friendship and community. Okay, well, church also means accountability and commitment. Someone said potluck, and it's like, church means potluck. That's awesome. That's where the friendship and the community and the obesity comes from. But there's also accountability and commitment in the church. That's the part we don't like to talk about. Getting held accountable by someone else who's a Christian. Actually having a commitment to one another. You know that I'm committed to your life? That if you come to this church, I'm committed to praying for you. I'm committed to your life. I want to see you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to see you in heaven. I want to see your family in heaven. I want you to grow. And I want to serve. And that's the thing, is that there's a commitment. And so in a church, in a healthy church, there's not only the good things, there's also the hard things. If you had a brother or sister that was falling off the wagon, would you confront them? Have you confronted them? Yes. If you have that brother or sister and they're failing, are you committed to them? Are you saying, hey, if I don't see you at church in 4 weeks, I'm showing up to your house. I'm going to make sure you get a ride. I'm going to make sure I drag you out of your house. You're coming to church with me, man. I've literally shown up to friends' houses after I'm not seeing them for a while. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Let's go to church. Get in the car. We're going to church. It's that love and commitment to one another that the church needs. We need those people, and we need to be committed to one another. It's not a social club. It's a body. It's a family. And lastly, the church is his bride. We see the church pictured as the bride of Christ, of course, in Revelation and other places as the bridegroom. But I want us to look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 is a section of scripture that is usually used for marriage. But I want you to just notice that this picture of Christ and his love here, look at what it says about his love for the church. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's incredible. It's a great mystery that we can be made one with Christ, that we're found in him. That when the judgment comes, that we'll go, hey, I'm pleading the blood. I'm not here on my own merit. I am found in Christ. And when he looks at me, he's going to impute the righteousness of Christ because I'm found in him. It's a great mystery. How is that possible, Lord, that you could cover all my sins? It's only by the blood. He nourishes and cherishes the church. He's sanctifying and cleansing the church. He gives his life for the church so that you and I would have a way to be reconciled. Do you think Jesus loves the church? Do you think he loves his bride? He calls us to follow the pattern of devotion, even in our marriages, that pattern of devotion he has for the church. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful when we talk about the church. Are we running the church down? Do we talk about all the flaws, all the warts, all the ugliness of church? Or do we talk about his bride? Be careful. It's easy to point out the flaws of other people. I've even been a person who's mocked the church. I've been irreverent kind of in my former life. I grew up in the church. I saw the flaws of the church. I was hurt by the church. And I said things about his bride that were not good. What if I said to everyone, I like the idea of marriage, but I just don't really like being married? What does that say about me? What's the truth? Do I really like marriage? No. I like the idea of church. I just don't like my church. Do you like church? It has this problem. It has that problem. Be careful. You might be the solution to that problem. You just need to be obedient. But listen to me. God has chosen the church, his people, his bride, past, present, and future, locally, globally, the church as the main vehicle through which our God displays his glory. Think about this. Is there another vehicle that he uses? Yeah, there's direct intervention. But primarily, our God has chosen to use the church as the vehicle through which he displays his glory to the nations. Is that a big deal? That you and I, as members of the church, we are called to display his glory to a lost world. That's something that the lost world may only see me and you as representations of Christ. That's what we're called to. That's a high calling. And he's made you and I for a reason. Being in the church, you'll discover your giftings, your talents, maybe your calling. He's made you for a reason. He's brought you to this body of believers for this season in your life, for reasons that maybe he only knows. We just know there's no coincidences. Lastly, I'll close with this. We were supposed to have a Vision Sunday this last Sunday. That didn't work out. The Lord had a different plan. I was supposed to tell you about all the wonderful things that the Lord has revealed to me. He's made me more confused than ever this last week. And you go, Lord, what are you doing? I have no idea. We're meeting on a Saturday night. in a building that we don't own. And you know what? I'll go wherever he says to go. As long as he says to keep preaching, I'm going to keep preaching. And so wherever he leads, I'm going to go. But I wanted to share with you something that I've been reading and something I think is pertinent to us going forward. The church exists for three reasons. I told you a little bit about what the church is. This is what the church is supposed to be doing. Exaltation of God. Worship, serving, giving, singing, studying. It's glorifying God through our gathering together. Edification of the saints. Teaching, praying, serving. It's building up the body of Christ through every way. If your gift is cleaning toilets, you are cleaning toilets as unto the Lord, and you are building up the body of Christ by doing it. And lastly, evangelism of the world. Local, regional, global. These three E's are the purpose of the church. Exaltation, edification, evangelism. This is what the church is supposed to be doing. If you get out of balance in any of these categories, you end up with an unhealthy church. You could have the exaltation part down. Hey, we have a really interesting worship service. It's really dynamic. It's incredible. And we do really great evangelism, but we never edify the saints. We never teach the word of God. I've been in churches that do the first two or do one and three. I've also been in a church that did all three of those really well. And I want us to be a church that does all three of those really well, that we are existing for those. So our vision as a church is simple. I threw this up here, and I thought this line was wonderful. We exist to reflect the character of God. Think about that for a second. What is his character? He has designated the church to be his representation, the body of Christ on earth. We are filled with his Spirit. We are led by his Spirit. We're given gifts by the Spirit so that we can be the body of Christ, his hands and feet to this world. We are called to display his character to this world. He's chosen the church as the main vehicle to get that accomplished. Throughout history, from the early church to today, we are living in that age where he is using the church for this purpose. And so we, as a church, we want to exist to reflect the very character of God. And we pray that he would use this group of believers to do that. We want to see his character on full display, and this world needs to see his character on full display. Think about his love, his holiness, his compassion. My heart is that the Lord would use us. My heart is that he would use me. And I pray that you guys would have that same heart. Say, Lord, send me. Use me in any way you see fit. I want to show the world who you are through the way I live. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you that you love the church. You love us. That we are members of a glorious body. This gives us such hope. We're part of a family. That, Lord, the saints who have gone before us, the saints who are around the world praying for even a small church in West Richland. I know we have believers across this country from Maryland to Southern California and everywhere in between praying for this church. And so, Lord, may we not lose track of the significance of being part of your body, being called to this place and this time for your glory. I pray you would equip us, empower us, and strengthen us to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.